There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, you're banned.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile live from Ed's Seafood Shed on the Causeway for a beautiful place to do this show, one of my favorites, to come out and enjoy some lunch. And hopefully you'll stop by and visit with us here at Ed's, the FM Talk 106.5 mobile command unit out front, so you know you're in the right place when you see that. In addition, if you walk on in, my man Dalton is in here with me, and so is Tom, who is about 95% of the Scuttlebutt Radio Network is already here. I was saying that so maybe Cal would hear that. 95% of the Scuttlebutt Radio Network, Tom Claxton's already here, and you'll go on at one. Is it, see, that's right. So I was starting fights early on with these Marines.
He needs to rest his voice.
He's got his backups. That's good. So Scuttlebutt Radio will be coming on at 1 today. We'll be doing Midday Mobile from noon to 1. And Jeff Poore is going to join us shortly. And, of course, we're talking about the address from President Trump as he spoke for about 9.5, 10 minutes, mm-hmm. Dalton, and talked to the American people about what happened last night with the Iranian response and those missiles launched.
Yeah, he was scheduled to come on at 10 a.m. our time this morning. And
what time did he start?
Right around, I think, 10:29,
yeah,
something like
Washington
that.
Yes, Washington time. So, yes, there is a delay.
A good 30 minutes, but he had the full crew behind him. I think most of the National Defense Security Team, and he had Mike Pence standing over his left shoulder, the right of our screens as we watched. And it was odd when they began the press conference. I actually thought they had missed the beginning of it because he started with a statement. He said, "As long as I'm president of the United States, Iran will never be allowed to have a nuclear weapon." And then he began his speech in earnest after that, saying, "Good morning, I'm pleased."
So that was his opening line.
That's right. So he really wanted to drill that in before he got the speech started.
You know, and this is going back to some of the things the president said, you know, and you heard it there on the Mike Gallagher show just a little while ago. So the American people should be extremely grateful and happy. No Americans were harmed in last night's attack by the Iranian regime. Now, we were saying it this morning. I talked about it on Twitter last night, and I'll get Jeff Poore's opinion on it. You and I have given ours back and forth. We'll get Jeff's here in a little bit. I think that was by design.
Mm-hmm.
I think you got to look at this two ways. It's what it looks like to us on the outside, but also what it is for these the mullahs to hold power inside Iran. They felt like, I'm sure they had to do something to continue to hold power there after we took out one of their top ranking, in my case, in my opinion, bad guys.
Mm-hmm.
And they had to do something to placate the home crowd. So they do this, but they... And listen, we'll never know, or maybe it'll be a while before we know, but people on social media last night and some of the talking heads on the cable networks were like, oh, look, the Iranians aren't good with shooting their missiles. Now, remember what they had done with the drone attack and all that? So I said, no, they are good with them, and that's why I believe they specifically missed.
Mm-hmm.
They had to do something so they could show the home audience that, hey, we're showing that great Satan. We're showing the United States what's what, but they knew better than to start something that would have escalated beyond that. And one part of that is we now have a new shuffle of the deck in the Middle East since President Trump took out Soleimani, and where we might have gotten very predictable in the past in the Middle East, that we might have telegraphed what we would do. People would know, okay, if we do this, then the U.S. will do this, and it'll take them 3 weeks to do this. That all changed with President Trump's move, and I bet you there's a lot of people in the Middle East going, this is different.
Yeah, you could say what you want about the president, whether you're on his side or not, but domestically or internationally, you never know what you're going to get. He seems to, you can look at the trends over the last years with him as president. president, and you can see, you know, what he trends towards. But still, there's an air of uncertainty around the decisions he makes, and I think that's on purpose.
Yeah, and so what I think from that, taking from that, is the Iranians did just enough. I think the bullets there that just enough to placate the people inside Iran to show them they're still powerful or XYZ, whatever it is. At the same time, they're not quite sure where the line with President Trump is, but they probably said, well, at least this, probably not. And you can look back at the drone strike, right? When they shot down one of our drones, they killed no Americans, and there were people in the neocons community in Washington were calling for a big strike against Iranian, the emplacements where they fired missiles from and all this, and President Trump slowed down on that, mm-hmm. remember? And he even took grief, if you remember, from Democrats on that.
Yeah.
Which is interesting. He takes grief now after taking out Soleimani. Democrats are after him. And I'll tell you this, too. I don't spend half my show like some people do in talk radio talking about how the mainstream media is in the bag for the Democrats. I believe a lot of that is absolutely true. I have other things to talk about. But if you don't believe that you saw a showing of the anti-Trump bias, which it would be anti-Trump would overcome their pro-America bias with the reporting of Soleimani treating him like he was some kind of angel.
Yeah, a martyr.
Some kind of Boy Scout. And then this reporting on the flip side, Iranians fire these missiles instead of reacting the way we would have, you know, if any other group would have. It was almost this idea, we need to apologize to the Iranians so they don't do this anymore. And there are a lot in the mainstream media. It's not just a few players out there doing that.
Yeah, even with the missiles they sent yesterday, they're claiming it's a big win. Today, in his speech, the president said it appears Iran is, stepping down. They're ramping down.
Off-ramp. And he's given them an off-ramp, and that's what's important here, too, that he says that. It means maybe we won't punch back that hard. We're going to talk to Jeff Poore about that when we get back. We are live at Ed's Seafood Shed. It's Midday Mobile on FM Talk 106.5. Come see us. We've got some FM Talk 106.5 goodies for you. Come say hi.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Hey, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5, and it is Midday Mobile live from Ed's Seafood Shed on the Causeway, and glad to have you here. And here's what we're doing, because our friends from the Scuttlebutt Network, they're taking over at 1 o'clock, so we got Midday Mobile till 1, and then Cal and Tom and the rest of the gang from the Scuttlebutt, they'll be joining us at 1 o'clock, and they'll go until 2 o'clock. By the way, I also want to remind you, too, text line's open. We can get your text remotely here at just by texting 343-0100. 343-0106. We'll get in touch with you there. All right. And we'll also say hello to our buddy Jeff Poore with Breitbart, Yellowhammer News, Lanyap, and the Jeff Poore Show on WVNN in Huntsville. He's joining us now. Hey, Jeff. Okay, so I'm having trouble hearing Jeff. I don't know if back in the studio you
want to. Hey, Sean, good afternoon.
There we go. Hey, good afternoon. Jeff, okay, a lot to talk about here, and I want to get around to what you had going on this morning with an interview. But before that, have you had a chance to digest President Trump's speech to the nation?
Yeah, just a couple of quick bullet points. I think starting off the speech saying Iran will not get a nuclear weapon on our watch was important. That needed to be emphasized. That needed to be the thrust of the message. Then I would say the we all knew this, that this we could avoid escalation part was coming, but if you read between the lines, you notice he did call on help from the United Kingdom, from France, from Germany, China, and Russia to get involved in this process. So I think those are some significant takeaways, as much as you might have expected. No real surprises here, though.
Hey, you know, yesterday, and it's interesting you said, because yesterday you were starting to hear about, or actually maybe the day before, reaction to the killing of Soleimani and, you know, what normal allies of the United States, at least through some messaging, said they were stepping back. That, hey, this is what the U.S. is doing. We're, you know, we didn't do that. You know, right? This is even Israel, to a point, said that was a U.S. mission, not an Israeli mission. But it's going to be interesting to watch when this turns around. And I think, like I said in the first segment, I think President Trump has really reshuffled the deck here in the Middle East. And if we had become predictable in the Middle East, we aren't now. And I wonder how many people are going to come calling now that say, "Oh yeah, we're in with y'all. You know, we're good. We're on board."
You know, there's still this sort of mindset, I think, in the international community that the United States shouldn't have killed Soleimani. That might be a hang-up. Other than that, I do think that there is a sign that this is perhaps a quote-unquote new sheriff in town, if you will.
Yeah, and but what's interesting is it's not even coming in. I think what's interesting about the response so far, and we'll see what happens, but it is has been measured response. And we look back at this conflict, you know, so many of the Democrats were acting like the president's been out of control in the situation with Iran. Weren't the Democrats the one calling for further strike? Remember when the drone was shut down and there were Democrats out clamoring for why President Trump had not done anything more to respond for that shot down drone? Is this the same group of people?
It's the same group of people. Hypocrisy is a hallmark of Washington, D.C., I would say, or contradiction, that is. The thing is, it's just a weird time in politics when you have such a reviled president, at least among the Beltway crowd, I think, and the Democrats all of a sudden rediscover their war footing. I mean, is that really what's going on here, or is it maybe just a touch of Trump derangement syndrome that's fueling a lot of, you know, Trump can't do right narratives that we see on the news and in the Democratic Party?
Well, I want to talk about that, too, that I think people have talked about this narrative from last night on that it was a prayerful heart that Speaker Pelosi had while she was out at the restaurant opening, right? I mean, it seems like that's a contradictory. Yeah. That's kind of contradictory in itself.
Well, I mean, that's just kind of a staple of Washington, D.C., you know, big dreams and fancy restaurants and you know, good old boy networks.
Well, what about that? Let's talk about the oldest and probably one of the more deeply entrenched good old boy networks in Washington, and that would be your neocons, right? I mean, we're looking at the fact that that this is, for many in Washington inside the Beltway, this is what they've been waiting to have happen for a long time. Right? I mean, you spent time up there. You lived there. Am I right or wrong that there's people in Washington that, from probably both parties, that have long wanted a war with Iran?
Yeah, there's, and you know, not to go too tinfoil hat on you, but there are people that see the role of government expanding, at least in a way that benefits certain sectors of industry, the defense contractors, et cetera. I mean, overall, it's not good for the economy, but in a war footing, there are people that benefit. There are also people who have, you know, that's their pet issue, like Lindsey Graham. You know, but the weird thing you're really seeing, I think, with this is how you have this division in the neocon, the quote-unquote neocon community, you know, the Max Boots and Bill Kristols, who are never Trumpers. All of a sudden, they found religion in non-interventionism. And then you do have some that come back around and say, well, you know, we needed to do this. This was a this gives you this strategic advantage. It sends a message. It's just so much of this is symbolism and, you know, the message that we're sending and how this appears to people. There's just so much of it. And really, we need to kind of take a step back, I think, and see how much this really matters in reality beyond just this is a show of force to the world that we're not going to be pushed around anymore.
Jeff, you know, when the president got us out of that deal with Iran, that nuclear deal, and then somewhere along the way put some pretty harsh economic sanctions on them, it seemed like after that is when they really started to act out with the hitting the ships there in the Gulf and then some of the other things we've seen over these last few months. Today, he announced that we're going to put even more economic sanctions on Iran. So I'm wondering, you know, is this actually working? Is it tightening the belt so much on Iran it's causing them to act out, and the president saying, let's just stay the course with that and see what happens?
Let's always remember one thing. Iran very reliant on the price of oil, and blowing holes in these tankers, drone strikes on the Saudi oil facilities, refineries, doing things of that nature is all meant, I believe, to drive up the price of oil, which will benefit the Iranian economy. Now, look at the Iranian economy right now. Double-digit unemployment, a lot of civil unrest. There, you know, we can talk about what this means for nationalism, but people are starving to death, and the quality of life is really abysmal. there's got to be civil unrest. That's a problem for Iran, and I think that that more is probably more to do with a little bit about what's going on right now.
Yeah, we're just joining us, talking to our buddy Jeff Poor from Yellowhammer News and Breitbart, Landnap, and of course the Jeff Poor Show on WVNN in Huntsville. You know, Jeff, looking at this, you mentioned that the unrest in Iran, and that's kind of what I thought from last night, and I'm still thinking this morning, that the Iranian mullahs and the power brokers there had to do something. They had to do something to really, I mean, it was almost their response, I think, and the missile launch out of Iran into Iraq, so not by proxy and very public, had a lot more to do with politics inside the borders of Iran than it did outside.
Yeah, I think so. Domestic politics, you have to show something for propaganda. I mean, we've all read Orwell's 1984, and I mean, that's an extreme example, but I there's a degree of truth to that inside of Iran that they had to show that, I mean, let's think about this. And, you know, we build missiles up here in Huntsville. We were shooting those kind of missiles out of the sky during the first Gulf War, those Scud missiles.
Right, right.
I think we could have knocked those missiles that they were firing out of the sky if we so choose.
Mm-hmm.
But this, let's just let them have our shot. It was almost like a hockey fight, guys.
Yep.
Where the refs are standing there, and they're like, all right, get your punches in, get them over with, and then pull them apart, and you go on back to business as usual.
You know, with the talk of propaganda, and I've been, you know, reading so much from people that know a lot about Iran, and with the burial of Soleimani the other day, I think they said 1 million people showed up, but this is what, a nation of 81, 82 million people, but it's not like North Korea. North Korea is the most restrictive place on Earth. Iran, there are a lot of people that disagree with the way that country's being ran.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. There's protests in the streets all the time. There's civil unrest. I mean, we were talking about the economies, and, you know, obviously North Korea has a much more brutal, tougher economy than Iran, but they are more realistic. You can't really run a country the way a hermit kingdom like North Korea. I mean, you can't do it in this day and age with the internet. It's just, you know, you just can't do it. They recognize that. Syria tried to do that. Syria ended up in a civil war. Iran is looking around the Middle East right now. Look at all these countries that have had civil wars. Look at Libya. Look at Syria. Look at Iraq. Look at Afghanistan. There's a clear fault lines and belief systems there and culture. And I think, you know, at some point, that's kind of in their mind. And if they don't keep people at least somewhat satisfied and happy, they can wind up having that same fate.
Yeah, I think it's worth a reset here because we start talking about the embargoes, and I agree with the Iranians acting out because they, you know, the price of oil is important, and these embargoes are crippling. But this all goes back to the nuclear program, right? This is, I mean, let's reset it and go back to now. We have a 40-year issue, but let's talk about the most recent chapter with the mullahs in Iran. It's about the nuclear power, and which is, you know, if you talk about a North Korea, I mean, that is the that's the blood over the door, right? That is the protective cloak. If you can get the bomb, you get to stay in power, right? If you don't have the bomb, regime change may come your way.
I think it's maybe a little less about the domestic politics. It is a show that there's a fear in the Middle East that the United States will come in and do what you did to Iran or Libya. I mean, a lot of these structures just want to stay in place and survive, and they're paranoid. I mean, I think there's a certain paranoia in these third world type of the dictatorships of losing their power because of something the West might do. That's why I think there's this race to get nuclear, because then that is somewhat of an equalizer. You may not have the numbers or the technology, but you do have a chip in the poker game of a possibly ending human civilization or something like that. That's kind of the mindset. As crazy as that sounds, I think that's the way a lot of these countries view it.
No, I completely. I don't think it's. I mean, that makes sense in a twisted kind of way. Tubi. I mean, you have a situation where you get to stay in power if you have the nuke. I mean, let's just ask this one question. We'll go to break here in a second. I know it's coming up, but let's take it to North Korea for a second. If Kim Jong-un, if the North Koreans did not have nukes, do you think they would be, anybody would pay attention to them or tolerate them at any level like we do now?
No, I mean,
bingo.
Why would so they? There's plenty of other kingdoms in this world, I guess. That one is more of a threat to the rest of the world. But domestic politics, I don't think it matters as much.
True that. All right, we're coming right back. Our guest, Jeff Poore. Check his show out on WVNN in Huntsville. Also read his work in Lagniappe, Breitbart, and Yellowhammer News. And we're coming right back. We're live at Ed's Seafood Shed with Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. We are live from Ed's Seafood Shed on the Causeway. And we're packed out here. Dalton folks showing up and coming out to most likely here just to visit with Tom Claxton. But you're welcome.
For sure.
Welcome for other reasons to come on out as well. By the way, Scuttlebutt Network with Cal and Tom will start here about 105 today. All right, so they're going to be on. Remember when you come on out to stop by the table here, you'll see Dalton and I set up. Got the new run of FM Talk 106.5. Huggers and some of the classics,
bringing them back.
You know, classic huggers as well, and pretty good. We're here on the water, floating keychains with the FM Talk 106.5 logo
now,
on. For
you'll have to wait out and get them.
That's right.
But you can't have the keychains.
So we'll throw them out in the water, and you can go out and get them. Stop by and grab that. Grab lunch with us too. Having a great time down here and talking to our friend Jeff Poore. And Jeff, I want to talk about this a little. I guess a little bit more with what the international situation is, and bring that right back to Alabama, because I know you did it, your story in Yellowhammer News, and I was talking to Congressman Byrne this morning as well. This is I think Congressman Byrne's quote was, this is not going to be World War III, and I kind of think that's a little bit of what we were talking about. This seems like, would you call it a hockey fight?
Yeah, a hockey fight. We know what's going to happen. We know how it is.
Right, and let's hope it stays there. Now, of course, that's all about the response, I guess, from our side. And I don't know. I mean, you listen to the speech from the president. It seemed measured. But he's not, you know, he's not saying we're not going to strike back. Of course, you don't want to do that. That's what we had 8 years of Obama to telegraph what we're going to do and not do. But do you think, I mean, just if you were calling Vegas and laying money on it, are we going to punch back one more time, or are we good? Is a new stalemate?
I think we're good. Like I said, the biggest tell to me is, why didn't we shoot those missiles out of the sky?
Right. It's a great point. Like nobody, I've heard nobody else bring that up.
In the 90s. You're telling me 2020 technology hasn't advanced to the point where we can't take out Iranian ballistic missiles? You compare the Iranian ballistic missiles, they're just lobbing rockets into the desert, essentially. With us, it's different. With American technology, we can pinpoint a desk in a building on the fifth floor or something. Yep. You know what I mean?
Yep.
So I think we just let them have their shot to keep the peace.
You know, Jeff, and we are the most advanced military in the world, but I think a lot of people are under the wrong impression that Iran are just a bunch of kids with slingshots over there. I mean, I saw so many people on Twitter joking about, you know, the announcement that jets were taking off in Tehran yesterday, and they said, oh, they're putting their two jets in the sky. Talking to Bradley Byrne this morning, he was pretty impressed with the way they struck those Saudi Arabian oil fields earlier this year.
That's true. I mean, and why didn't they do that with us?
Right.
If this was such a big deal, why didn't they strike us with the similar technology? They didn't.
They shot a drone out of the air. They shot a drone out of the air, and you're telling me they're missing the bases at Al Asad and you know, in the north and in the Kurdish region? Really? I mean, come on. I mean, you made a point, too. I mean, and we didn't shoot. Y'all are watching, if this is true, y'all are watching a really good tell of maybe some kabuki theater of realpolitik, because you, Jeff, you're the first person I've said say that, and I think that's really sentient too, that we could have, you're right, we could have shot those things out there, we didn't.
Yeah. So, I mean, that was my first impression. Remember how we were supposed to be so scared of those Scud missiles Iraq and Saddam Hussein was launching at Israel, and then they roll out those Patriot missile batteries, and it's like the greatest thing ever invented. If they could have done that then, why aren't they doing that now? So, yeah, I totally think we knew this was coming. We let them have their shot just so it wouldn't escalate. But back to Dalton's point about the Iranian military, I'm not saying it's a, you know, not a threat that could do some damage. But if it wanted to go head-to-head with the United States of America, I mean, well, that's a different thing.
Absolutely.
And you've seen it all over the Middle East. When the U.S. does something, it may leave you the chaos like it has Iraq and Libya, but, you know, you don't. The current regime isn't left standing.
That is for sure. All right, I want to switch gears here for a second, although, yeah, this is part and parcel because you've talked about these issues with two of the candidates running for the Republican nomination for Senate, and you have a story about voters in Marshall County getting to hear from, we had Jeff Sessions and Bradley Byrne there, right?
Yeah, and we both kind of talked on it. I actually drove down to Coleman, Alabama this morning and interviewed Sessions. We'll have that story up here shortly. But I think there's not that many degrees of separation on the two on this issue. The big thing I would say about Jeff Sessions is, you know, the three-pronged approach of Jeff Sessions' populism is immigration, trade, and foreign policy. And it really goes back to that, you know, 2006 was such a wipeout for Republicans. We learned our lesson during the Bush administration. We need to take care of domestic politics, domestic needs, before we just go on these foreign adventures. And my question to him was, you know, aside from this actual Soleimani, and aside from launching those Tomahawk missile strikes on the alleged chemical warfare sites in Syria, do you think Donald Trump's remained true to his non-interventionist pledges during the 2016 campaign? Essentially said he thought he had, but it's important that when Americans are in harm's way, you know, as such was the case with the American embassy in Baghdad, that we have a response. Bradley Byrne, he kind of called this one. I was talking to him last night about it. He didn't think this would escalate. He thought it would end there, assuming there were no American casualties, and that appears to be the case as of right now.
All right, let's talk a little bit about those the Senate stakes here in Alabama. Have we gotten a new set of polling data? Or are we still working off the? Are we still sticking with Senator Sessions number one, Representative Byrne number two, or Representative Tommy Tuberville number two, Representative Byrne number three? Is that still kind of what we're seeing?
That's conventionalism with Roy Moore for our Moody 5 and the hillbilly from Haleyville down there at number six. I would say this, though. Yesterday, a pretty significant thing happened. It's not been really reported out yet, but there was a shakeup in Tuberville's campaign, and he brought on Jeff Rowe, who was Luther Strange's guy in 2017. So here's what you need to know about that, though, is...
He's the grassroots candidate.
They seem to have shuffled out Trip Skipper, Mobile guy, and replaced him somewhat. And brought on Stan McDonald to be the chairman of his campaign as a guy, a political activist up here in North Alabama. The fact that they're doing all this and they're shaking that campaign up, somebody they believe Tommy Tuberville could be actually a United States senator. And, you know, then it's not an aspirational thing anymore. He's gotten this far, and it's time we start seeing some serious things. Because I don't know what it's like down on FM Talk 106.5. Here on VNN, we've had ads for Sessions and Byrne. We haven't had anything for Tommy Tuberville.
Same here.
Yeah, same here. Why aren't they on air yet? Why aren't they doing anything yet? That's always been the question. So are we going to see that? Are we going to see them spending some money on some airtime, and what does that mean? And does he really want to be a U.S. senator? I think yesterday was the beginning of that.
Well, but you're telling me, okay, once again, interpret this for us. So Skipper coming out, and the change here, you're saying, says that yes, this is a more viable candidate, and there's people getting behind him, or it says no, it's not. I mean, you think,
yeah,
you're talking about an establishment. I mean, you're talking about the person that was running Luther Strange's campaign. I mean, that's about as establishment as it gets in Alabama Republican politics.
Well, take all that out of the equation.
Just
say the goal is to win. If you're not really in the game to win, why go through the process of putting in new people? Why go through the process of changing things up if you're not in it, if people don't think you
but
can
is
win?
That because you can see the finish line?
We think
or
Tommy
because...
Tuberville can be a United States senator. Let's shake this thing up. Let's get some more serious people. Not that Tripp Skipper wasn't a serious person, but whoever's in charge, be it the candidate or money donors or whatever, let's get some other people in here and start running this thing like more like a traditional campaign. Let's start running some radio ads. Let's start doing the things you do that they weren't doing in a U.S. Senate campaign in the state of Alabama.
But, I mean, just have we're talking about 60 days-ish, you know, away from the primary. And you can that seems like a big shakeup. And so to me that would mean something is, and I understand where you're coming from on this too, but just for the exercise, that tells me something is wrong, not that something is right. If 60 days out you risk this this change.
But if you look at it close enough and you kind of watch the ebbs and flows, I mean, they were dieting, living and dieting off of Tuberville's name ID. It was all about Tuberville's name ID. They needed to transition to something that goes, takes it to that next level. I think this is it.
All right, there he is, our buddy Jeff Poore. People want to reach out and find you. Is, I guess, Twitter best?
Twitter.com/Jeff_Poore.
All right, thank you, man. We appreciate it.
All right, thanks, Sean.
Coming right back, more of Midday Mobile. We are live at Ed's Seafood Shed on the Causeway with about 200 of y'all, so come on out and be part of this. Grab some FM Talk 106.5 goodies when you get here.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile on this pretty Wednesday. Beautiful view here from Ed Seafood Shed. Hey, by the way, too, I see Garrett Williamson from Personal Edge Fitness. He's in the house, and I feel like maybe we'll have some exercise, some things to do here during the show, maybe in the next hour. He'll do that for us. And Ian, think about this. So we've got Scuttlebutt Radio Network. Those guys are out here. Personal Edge Fitness is out here. And we check in with our buddy Angelo, who is, I would say, let's see how much trouble I can start at their shop. Like 90% of the show, of the radio show, Two Guys and Some Change. Hey, Angelo.
Well, thanks. Hey, I appreciate that. And yeah, Ron's actually out walking the dogs right now, so he's not listening. So
good.
I'm good with that 90%, my friend.
Good. 95% of Two Guys and Some Change, our buddy Angelo at Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. Okay, get ready. You knew this was coming. Let's talk precious metals, because look at what's happened in metals.
Oh, my goodness. Well, to be expected. Anytime there's unrest around the world, you know, a while back it was North Korea, and now obviously what's going on there in the Middle East is heating things up. Silver is climbing, gold is climbing. Gold is somewhere in the $1,550 to $1,600 range today. Silver is, you know, over 18 and still climbing. So we've had a lot of people sort of jump up and start paying attention and get in here and buy a lot of silver and gold bullion, and we've also had a lot of people coming in here selling some of their silver and gold and getting some cash to pay for those holiday bills.
Yeah, that's one thing that you always remind us and point out. Not only are we coming in and finding great stuff to buy from y'all, yeah, if we have those precious metals to sell, you're gonna give us a great look at those items. And sometimes you buy things not just for the raw value of the gold or silver. Sometimes the collectability moves into this as well.
There are a lot of instances where you've got gold or silver bullion that's worth just metal, and many instances where those coins are worth a lot of money. Ron bought a silver half dollar, which silver value is about $5 or $6, paid about $350 for it yesterday because of that collector's
what?
Value.
Wow.
Yeah, pretty
okay.
Impressive, pretty amazing coin, and it's got a good story. I'll have to share that with you off the air because it'll take way too much time.
Okay, I'll do that. And, you know, I want to point out, too, that you will give us the value of all kind of things from, you know, precious metal, you know, collectibles like that, to jewelry items. I mean, you've done it for my family as well. If people are looking for to get get an idea of what something's worth or want to get a second opinion on what something's worth before they buy or sell something, y'all do that for free.
We certainly do, and it's always worth getting that opinion. You're putting out your hard-earned money. You're getting ready to buy a piece of jewelry, maybe buy a nice collectible coin. You want to make sure that you are spending the money for the right thing at the right value. So come by Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry, and we will let you know what our opinion is, and it's not going to cost you a single cent.
All right, Angelo, tell them how to do that. How do they find you?
Now, we're in Midtown, 2204 Government Street. Of course, you can go online, check out the website, mobilebaycoins.com, or go into social media, Facebook or Instagram, and find us there.
Hey, thank you, Angelo.
Have a good one, Sean.
You too. All right. And by the way, I did not want to miss this. Thank you, Eddie, on the text line. I would have... You know, if I'd have been in studio probably with all my notes, I wouldn't have missed this. But, Eddie, thank you. He said, today is Elvis's birthday. Are y'all going to spend the entire broadcast talking about this stuff? Get your priorities straight, Sean.
Dang,
Eddie, thank
he's
you.
Right.
You're right. It is it's the birthday of the king. And my apologies. My apology.
I wonder what his age would have been. I'm sure someone knows. It's all over the Internet. But how old Elvis would have been today?
What do you mean would have been?
Good point. That's a really good point.
He's on an island. What are you trying to say?
He's somewhere.
What are you trying to say? Elvis, come on. I mean, they saw him. They saw him just go. Somebody Google for me the last reported Elvis sighting. So in the 90s, maybe even the 80s too. It was there was always an Elvis sighting.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe the internet. Let's see, Elvis.
Lots of them in Vegas.
Sighting. Let's see. Yeah, there we go. By the way, there's Elvis sighting societies around the country, too. Okay, Elvis sightings, the most recent Elvis sightings, 3 days ago.
Wow.
3 days ago. There you go. 3 days ago.
Getting ready for his birthday. Probably at a party supply store.
There you go. It did not say, I don't have enough time to look into this, but there are, so as of, and all these things come up on a Google search. But yes, the most recent news break, Elvis sighting just 3 days ago for his birthday.
That's
so
unbelievable.
So there you go. That's important. And thanks, Eddie, for bringing that up. I would have been remiss if I didn't hit on that. And maybe we'll get the Scuttlebutt Boys. They're on the way next, Tom and Cal and the whole gang. Maybe we'll get them to talk about some Elvis during their show.
And, you know, speaking of the king, do you see this news from the royal family out in...
Okay, yeah, dude, roll this out. This is what Dalton tells me during the news break.
Okay, so
tell everybody what you just told.
And, you know, we don't like talking about every little thing the royal family does.
I don't like talking about anything about them, but
okay,
this one...
So here's the news. Apparently, Prince Harry and his wife, Meghan, are stepping back. They're stepping out
He's
of the
a redheaded
royal family.
One, right? He's a redheaded one.
Aren't they all redheaded?
I don't know.
I can't
He's
remember.
Like redder than the others.
But he says they're going to step back as senior members of the royal family.
Okay.
And in his words, work to become financially independent. I don't know if that means they're going to give up all of their current assets and start from the ground up.
Don't they get a castle? I mean, when you get... He got your own castle, so you get a castle.
You get a castle.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
I think all of them have a castle.
That's amazing. And he also says he and his wife, who I believe is American,
mm-hmm.
That they're
Meghan
gonna,
Markle, yeah.
They're going to balance their time between the United Kingdom and North America, enabling them to raise their son with an appreciation for the royal tradition and provide the family with space to focus on the next chapter. So to me, that sounds like they're tired of blood pudding or blood sausages and the pudding
right.
in UK. They just want to live in America.
Okay, wait a second. So they're going to raise the child, they said, to what is it with the...
They want to give them an appreciation for the royal tradition into which he was born.
But also
spend a lot of time in North America.
It's not possible. If you're true American and what makes this nation great flows in your blood, I don't think... I know that I am one of the minorities in the country because everybody here, so many people are Anglophiles and are into this and jump up and down for the British royal family. But remember, we had a little revolution thing and we broke free and this idea that you're better than somebody else because you were born with a certain name or something like that. Remember, I thought we kind of got away from that stuff. But they're going to come, so they're going to do away with being senior members of the royal family.
Mm-hmm. Taking a step back.
Now, does this sound like a news story, y'all? Or to me, when Dalton told me, it sounds like a sitcom. Hey, those crazy royals move across the pond, and now they're in a tough neighborhood in the Bronx,
uh-huh.
and they're just trying to make ends meet, but they love each other,
hey.
and life is great. Join for the madcap hilarity and hijinks on, I'm Prince Harry, or am I not?
And she's already an actress. He's in the royal family, so he's an actor, too.
So what does he mean by they're going to give up their...
They're going to work to become financially independent. So start from the bottom. And the best part, it says a personal message from the Duke and Duchess. All I can picture is John Wayne giving this message out there. The Duke.
And the Duke, right.
A personal message from him.
Is this going to be like Undercover Boss, but Undercover Royal is a TV show? And like
grow a mustache.
Right, he's going to try to go get a job somewhere here stateside doing like some, regular. He's going to, show up as a tradesman somewhere out on a job site and be like... You look like Prince Harry. Well, I'm not Prince Harry. No. My name's Bob. And I'm
just the janitor.
You're right. And I'm from Milledgeville, Georgia. Yeah, right. Okay. So at least you gave us something to look forward to. Coming to Fox this fall, I'm not Prince Harry. All right. Hour number two on the way. Scuttlebutt Radio Network takes over, but we are live until 2 here at Ed's Seafood Shed on the Causeway. Come see us.